Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and we've been on a bit of a break, but we're coming back in full style here. My amazing guest today is Summer Rain Oaks. I can't wait to talk to her, and I know that so many of you out there probably have questions for her and comments as well, so please call in. I'm going to give you the number really quickly. We are live here on the air, and the call-in number is 619-393-2911. Again, that's 619-393-2911, and I am speaking today with Summer Rain Oaks. Summer has taken an unlikely career path, having parlayed her background in environmental science and entomology with a successful career as a fashion model. Considered one of the foremost authorities in sustainable design, Oaks has co-founded the award-winning online materials marketplace, Source for Style. I encourage you to check it out. It's amazing. She's authored the best-selling style guide, Style Naturally. Again, I also encourage you to check that out. It's an amazing book. And she's also the creative designer behind her line of recycled optics and shades called Eco by Summer Rain Oaks. She has also collaborated on collections with Payless Shoe Source, Portico Home, and Aveeno, and was the muse behind the creation of the Prius C Toyota, who even went so far as to name a paint color in her honor. And I'll have to confirm this with Summer, but I think she doesn't even have a driver's license, so I thought that's pretty cool. Summer is formerly an on-air correspondent for Discovery Network's Planet Green. She has once again turned to the media world, producing an award-winning environmental art short entitled Extinction, which is electrifying. I encourage you to check that out. And also a weekly conversation-style video series, which launches this April 2013. Vanity Fair has named Oaks as a global citizen. Outside called her one of the top environmental activists, and CNBC called her one of the top 10 green entrepreneurs of 2010. Oaks lives in Brooklyn with her 24 exotic insects, which I definitely need to know more about. And you can also follow her at twitter.com/sroaks. And, of course, check out her websites. She's on summerrain.net as well as summerrain.com. And I'm just going to bring Summer on the line right now. Summer, thank you so much for being here today. I can't wait to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here and taking time out of your busy schedule. And I just, first of all, Summer, there are so many questions I want to ask you, but first I just want to ask you, why do you love nature so much? And I know that you're really passionate. I saw in one of your films you say you come alive when you're outside. And I know that sustainability is a huge part of who you are, but I'm wondering, just on the really deep level, what is it about nature that you love so much?
Yeah, I think when you're a kid, you don't really have the language to describe why you love something so much. And I think that now that I'm older and probably a little bit more cerebral, we have that language in our back pocket. But you know, when I was a kid, it's just like I love to draw, and I love to draw nature, and I love to be outside, and I, you know, really found myself lost in my mother's National Geographic magazines. Mm-hmm. I think it's a shame that that you know we don't kind of collect that stuff any longer, because it was exactly that kind of I was engrossed in, and I was fortunate because I grew up in a pretty idyllic area, but it was really the phenomenal vistas and people and places that I saw in National Geographic that I think allowed me to dream outside of the borders. So, you know, who knows exactly what it was that makes you tick, but you know, you mentioned some of the talks that I've given. I mean, I always tell people to like really do what makes you come to life, because if that's what you're passionate about, then, you know, that's what you're going to want to devote your life to.
I love the way you say that. And actually, I have a quote from you. I hope it's okay if I quote this. You were mentioning that I was just watching you. I mean, you're a keynote speaker as well as everything else that you do. For anyone who doesn't know, you're an environmental scientist, for one thing. You're an entomologist, and then you're an environmental activist as well, and then you're an eco model, which is what I read somewhere that you said you kind of use that as like your kind of like your way in to that's sort of like the
That was definitely the wolf in sheep's clothing tactic, and I think all these titles. I mean, I think that we always get kind of caught up on our own titles, but I think that you just have to kind of find what really resonates with you. And I was just chatting with a friend, and I said, you know, it almost doesn't matter what I do as long as I'm somehow fulfilling that passion. And it could be, it could be a passion for anything. It could be, somebody might have a passion for coffee. Somebody might have a passion for architecture. Somebody might have a passion for design. And you might then, kind of find a title that allows you to fulfill that passion. And for me, it was just kind of trying to figure out new ways to communicate environmental issues. And I kind of struggled with it because, some of my best friends are just not people who are in the same field, and I wanted to get an opportunity to share it with people like them, friends of mine who just weren't like in the same sector. And we often, I think, find ourselves saying what disconnects us versus what connects us. And so, environment, I thought, was a real disconnecting part. People just didn't feel the same type of passion for it that I did. And so I thought, well, there's got to be cooler ways in order to be able to connect that passion. It could be through humor. It could be through, dance. It could be through music. And I thought, well, what about through fashion? And so that was kind of my foray into the industry and learning about it a little bit more.
I see. And I love that. That is kind of a fresh approach. And that's also, they say that, people pay attention when they need something or when they need to change something. In fashion is, I think it's part of our personalities. It's something that's already out there. So like you said, it's the perfect way to sort of kind of slip in through the back door. And yet, to me, it's obvious that you were meant to do this just from watching you speak. And I have to say also, I do want to read this quote from you that, if it's okay with you, that you did say in one of your speeches. But first, before I say that, I do have to say that the first place I saw you was, I'm really into alternative health, and so I'm always picking up those magazines. And I think I saw you on, I think it was Natural Health or something, and I just saw your picture, but you radiated this energy and intelligence and passion even just from that picture. And of course, then I read the article, and there was something about you that stood out. So I think that you're definitely getting you're coming across. And so it sounds to me like you do inhabit that passion, and that's one of the most inspiring things about you to me. I mean, as little as I know you, is that in the capacity that I can know you, is that you definitely inhabit your passion, and you're a force of nature, Summer, I would say, which is kind of fitting considering what you do.
I really appreciate the comments, and I think that one of the things that I've realized, kind of particularly working within the fashion industry, because you're there to project an image, and what I was not ever able to rectify or try to justify or figure out was the fact of, like, I'm only really good at being myself. I never was good at playing a part, and the whole purpose of fashion is to sometimes play a part. And it was something that that's difficult, I think, for all of us, no matter what jobs we do, where why is it that we have to exercise our passions when we come home, like after we close the door of our businesses or what we do on our 9-to-5 job? how come we can't bring that into all aspects of our life? And so that's something, you know, that I struggled with. And, you know, you had mentioned, you know, just a couple minutes before how you said, well, this seemed so natural that you would do this, but it wasn't. It's not always so natural. Like you struggle and you build and the idea of kind of, you know, expressing your values, who you are as a person, didn't exist within the fashion industry, and trying to create that platform was a very difficult, arduous journey. And it exists
really
now. So anybody who comes in to the industry can now have the language or has somebody to point to be like, that's what I want to do. But prior to that, it wasn't being done. And, you know, I met a lot of wonderful, wonderful women who are now friends who, you know, had just said, like my one friend Mac out of the UK, she was quite a big model. She still models, but she was quite a big model in the 90s. And she said, you know, I just remember that the only values that we could exercise within the fashion industry was I wasn't going to model for a fur company or an alcohol company. And and there wasn't any other language around it. And so I think that we've reached a point where we now have that. And so I think that what I'm trying to say is that there should be no reason why we can't exercise our values through all aspects of our life. And it's easier said than done. You have to kind of work for it and help other people along the way that to say, hey, you know, actually this is okay. You know, if I'm going to represent a brand or a product or I'm going to put my face on it, I actually want to represent so much more. So I appreciate what you said on the Natural Health magazine. And actually when I shot that cover, I remember they called me and they said, I don't know if we want you on the cover. And I said, well, why the hell not? And they said, well, you're just so
good for you.
Sexy. Like, you're just like, you're too sexy. You're like, you won't be relatable. And I'm like, dude, you've never seen me smile. Like, I have like, you know, these big, you know, it's kind of like my dad. Like, he looks like a badass until he like, shows his dimples. And then you're just like, whoa, you know, you can, you have the ability, you know, to really connect with people. And I said, well, I'm grateful that, you know, you think like my...
You do have that,
like,
absolutely.
Sexy,
well, you were radiating, but I think you were radiating your inner... They say that radiance is beauty of your soul. So
well,
I think that's what
I
was picking up on.
I was also in a field of lavender and honeybees, which no one else wanted to, like, go in, and I was just like, give me all the honeybees. I just felt like I was in heaven in there. So, yeah.
It looked like it, too. And so, there's so many things I want to talk about because you mentioned honeybees, too. But first of all, I just want to – let's just start with your – if it's okay with you. And I'm still going to bring up this quote, but I'm kind of saving it because it's a really, really good one. But I'm saving it for a really key moment here. But I was wondering if you could just share with our listeners your backstory, because you're talking about how – what I heard you saying is when you're talking about the fashion industry and paving your way, you had to pave the way for what now seems effortless, and sort of create that niche where
you can stand up
for yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much credit, because the only way for you to be able to trailblaze a path is by linking it on to other people and other things that already pre-exist.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very difficult to kind of do things on your own, and I've received a lot of wonderful help along the way. But I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that I would have to say is never be shy and to tell people about what you want to do or why you're doing it. And my first agency out of college was Boss Models, and just. What's today? Today's the 21st. Just 5 days ago. Yeah, just 5 days ago, my first agent from Boss Models, who picked me up. But they were just starting the women's modeling division, and I sat with him and the other agent, and they really took a chance on me because I wasn't like the typical person. And I came in and I'm like, okay, this is why I'm here. I really want to connect environmental issues with fashion, and you know, at that time, you know, I think it was 2004, 2005, like nobody like had even heard of anything of that nature. And guaranteed there was not one woman within an agency who was like, I just want to exclusively align my work with this. And they gave me a lot of lines. And I remember, you know, Justin looked at me and he was just like, look, 80% of the jobs won't be available to you because your hips are 2 inches too big. And I looked at him and I was like, I just shared with you like my deepest core passions about what I'd like to do. And and you're giving me this line. I said, first of all, I don't want 90% of the jobs. I don't want 95% of the jobs. Forget about like my hips. Like, I had this, you know, presence that I was just like, God, if you think my hips are going to stop me from doing my passions, which are far greater than any of the kind of trivialities of the fashion industry, I said, well, you're sadly mistaken.
Wow.
And I said this to him, and he was impressed, and they signed me on the spot, but it didn't really kind of work out. And I told him, I said, look, if you help invest in my career, I said, it will be a good return. And so, funny enough, he left eventually. I mean, I left before he did, and he just wrote me a note the other day, and he goes, you know, Summer, awesome job. Have you ever thought about visiting Sustainable South Bronx and working with their organization? He's like, I believe it would be a perfect match. I believe in your purpose. This is somebody who's now 8 years removed from me. And I have to say, to get an email like that, to know that the fortitude that I had, you know, 8 years ago to now is really remarkable, because you stand for something and you just can't be shy about that.
And Summer, I think that's what I picked up on when I saw your demo reel for when you're for doing keynote speaking, because. And I think that is, I mean, again, as little as I know you, that seems like one of your amazing strengths. And you're right. I mean, there's so little time as it is. And I think especially for women, especially probably in the fashion industry, and maybe especially for the female models, you know, to have somebody, I mean, I'm so glad that things turned out as they did between you and him, and that he remembered that about you. You know, but it's so interesting, like, that they were, you know, looking at your hips, saying that, you know, you're, I mean, it's just so funny the way we're marginalized, and yet, well, go ahead, it's the perfect thing.
We're inclined not to be the best people that we can be, because for one reason or another, it's, you know, I remember him telling me, like, he pulled me aside, and he's like, I totally believe in this, but I don't want to lose my job, or, you know, whatever it might be, that was ailing him. Because I came back also with the contract marked up. I was like, no, these things are unfair in the contract. And he's like, look, I can take this to the boss, but he's like, I don't want to lose my job. And so I think, like, he was programmed and dictated and puppeteered to tell something to me that, quite frankly, just, you know, if you're out of the box and kind of challenging the status quo of a system, it doesn't work. And I think that we all need to kind of recognize this about ourselves and be like, okay, well, if I'm working within a system, if I'm working within a box, you know, how do I take that box and turn it into, like, how do I work with it and turn it into origami? And so that's what I'm always kind of trying to do with my work. And the question is, it's not easy for somebody, you know, you get a lot of people who are like, I want to start my own business, or I want to do this, and, you know, how do I start, or, you know, where do I start, or how long should I go for? You have to answer those questions for yourself, because you might be passionate about it, but you might not be able to turn it into a business. And that's where, you know, kind of the journey and the character building takes place.
And also what I hear you saying is that in speaking your own truth, isn't that maybe what does open some of those doors, and it makes the journey easier?
Absolutely, because, you know, a lot of people want to hold on to their ideas and not share it, and I'm like the complete opposite. I'm just like, share those ideas out, because, you know, it did not benefit me. If I went through, I mean, just picture this. If I went through the fashion industry not telling anybody about what I wanted to do, do you think that they would have, like, you know, kind of, I would have been sent on, like, all these castings that didn't make sense for me, that took me away from my vision. You know, 2 years down the line, I could be, you know, waitressing at a, you know, at a, and trying to do a fashion career that wasn't even, you know, something that I wanted. And, you know,
exactly.
And along that way, I wore my heart on my sleeve, whether it's naivete mm-hmm. or whether it was, you know, just kind of who I was or am. And in that process, I found other people who were into it and wanted to help and wanted to make introductions. And it was those people that I ended up helping build my career from one point to the next. And you wouldn't have those people in your life if you didn't tell them about what you were doing, what you stood for, and what makes mm-hmm. you tick.
Mm. And this is, I mean, this is really striking a chord with me, Summer, and I'm sure it is with a lot of people too. Because it changes everything. It's, you know, it's in the details, right? Life is in the details. I love how you say wear your heart on your sleeve. And I'm going to share this quote that you say, from one of your, speeches. You say, go forth in your life with vigor and passion. Strive to see yourself in every single person that you meet. Know that the goal you are working toward, let that be your guiding light, and go forward in life in as a human being. And I absolutely love that quote. You say it much much better than I just said it there, but it's really powerful. I mean, I like that you're a woman that is sort of shining a light on sustainability. I like those two. I like that those two parts coming together. You know what I mean? Because it's
yeah.
I don't know. It's not that men aren't into sustainability too, but there's something about a woman.
Well, it's a good point that you make, and actually one of the organizations that I'm really close with, Rainforest Action Network, they recently mm-hmm. just lost their executive director, Becky. She actually drowned in Mexico, and she wasn't even 40 years old yet. She was still 39. And
I remember reading about her.
She had just written to me a couple months before they were going to throw their benefit out here in February, and it really hit me. It struck me because, God, I had just seen her even 4 months before that. She was here in New York. And, you know, she was just, like, full of life and was one of the rare women within the sustainability movement who kind of just got up on her feet and rose to the challenge. And there are other women out there, of course, but not as many as that are celebrated. And
mm-hmm.
and Rainforest Action Network was just like, God, you know, we wish we really want to get another woman, because there's very few that are out there that have risen to kind of the leading nonprofits. I mean, you see more now than ever. I mean, especially like social entrepreneurs. I mean, Benita and I, you know, started Source for Style, but you know, as you're going through the process as a woman, kind of starting a business or a nonprofit or an organization, you start to realize some of the inequities. And you know, it's funny because I didn't experience any of those inequities in college, and I ended up, I remember getting a grant, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a women's research grant, and mm-hmm. these were women who were my seniors at the time. They were probably like in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they came to all of us women who had received the award, and they wanted to talk about, it almost became like a therapy session of like talking about the inequities in science and did we ever feel marginalized like within class, and I was just like, no, like we're all like looking around, we're like, no, not at all, like we totally feel, you know, mm-hmm. completely our own woman, and mm-hmm. and it's strange that that it was, people had felt that way before, but it was those women that kind of trailblazed that path for us to feel equal.
Right.
And
now,
I see like more women kind of starting their own businesses, and mm-hmm. you know, we've gone through the process. I went through, we raised a venture capital round for Source for Style, and you can start seeing where some of those inequities or disconnects actually are happening for women who mm-hmm. want to start their own businesses, for example.
That's very interesting. So it still exists, but although we've made progress, there are still areas that it's maybe within, like you were just talking about, maybe in entrepreneurship, but also in Source for Style. I know that you connect people with, say, is it like textiles and fabrics that are, and like also is it fair trade? Do you work with fair trade too? Like that's also connecting with maybe potentially women in other parts of the world, right? Who are
that's exactly right.
Entrepreneurs.
Yes, the whole idea behind it was like, you know, for designers, we wanted to be able to connect designers to sustainable suppliers around the world. And about 70 to 75% of people who work within kind of the manufacturing, the textile sector are actually women. So inevitably, by putting those groups together, you not only help solve the problem of reducing sourcing time, which designers say they spend up to 85% of their time sourcing, but you're actually also solving the problem of being able to develop market access to women and men in different parts of the world who can't get their wares out to the U.S. or European marketplaces. So Source for Style, we started in 2009, and Benita, my business partner, is now running it. I stepped away last year, but we are sourcing in over 30 countries, and we supply products to over 70 designers in over 76 countries around the world.
Wow. And that again, this is an online, it's an award-winning online materials marketplace. It's called Source for Style. That's four as a number. So source, the word source, and then four, the number four, and then the word style. Source for Style. You should go check it out. It's a really great website. And so I was wondering, we're going to take a short break pretty soon here, but I was wondering if we could really get down into the nitty-gritty of sustainability. How can people who are maybe curious about, you know, environmental activism and sustainability, if they're curious but they're not really sure what to do, I'm wondering if we could just get down into the trenches more about how they can get more active, inspired, et cetera. So does that sound good to you?
I mean, one of the things that I had to say about it is, like, the one thing that's really inspiring to me is when you're able to actually share something with somebody. Like, you have another person's energy in the room or in your community that you're kind of connecting with. And I think that something that we've kind of lost along the way over the last, like, number of years with sustainability is that we're so focused on kind of the utilitarian aspects, like the changing of the light bulbs, the taking the cloth bag, you know, all these little things that I think, yes, definitely make a difference. But what's going to really, I think, make a true difference in your life and have that kind of positive feedback loop is if you're connecting or making someone else's life better. And in that, I think it makes your own life better. And you know, part of that speech that I was given, I think it was actually the Sam's Club, is or it might not have been. It could have been somewhere else. But, you know, to see yourself in another human being, I think that is so important. Like, you know, being able to connect with people who may not look or act or think like you, it's the one way that you're going to really be able to make a difference. And coming to the fashion industry was a total 180-degree shift, mind shift for me, because I didn't look or act or think like a lot of the people that I deal with in the fashion industry. But by moving into that and kind of seeing yourself in them and seeing their point of view, you know, I was able to, in some ways, like, move mountains. And I think that, you know, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, it's actually really simple. It's like, you know, if you want to do something for your home or your family or your community, do it with somebody else. I mean, I had my dad come over, and I don't spend a tremendous amount of time with my father. And, you know, I just put up a giant vertical garden in my bedroom. And
I saw that,
He posted on my Facebook page, and he goes, you know, it looks great, but where are your edibles? And I said, well, that's interesting. You know, I should have an edible vertical garden. So I went online, and I found kind of this mason jar herb garden thing that you could do. And it's very simple. You just need mason jars, some soil, some rocks, hose clamps, and a board, and some, you know, nails or screws to kind of put into the wall. and of course some plants. And I sent them this picture, and I said, well, hey, do you want to come up and build this with me? And he was, and my dad loves to, he's very handy, and he loves to build, and he's like, this would be fun. So, you know, he came up, and I have to tell you, it was like the most fun that I've ever had with my father.
Really?
I mean, really. It was like an activity that we both loved and engaged in, and, you know, since posting that video and the photos online, I mean, I've had like 6 people write me that, like, I am totally stealing this idea. I've had another person say, like, I want to borrow your father, you know, can you help me do this? Yeah. And it makes him feel so wonderful. And it's like me, in a way, kind of spreading the joy of showing, like, what we've done together, and hopefully it manifests in other people's lives. And one of my friends is actually inspired enough to build a vertical garden in his house. You know, and I think that, like, just changing your atmosphere of your own house and your own life and your own community is really where the inspiration lies. And so for me, it's not about kind of unplugging your, you know, your plugs, or, you know, kind of unscrewing your light bulbs and putting in LED light bulbs. I mean, that helps, but it doesn't go a long way as far as inspiring other people to do the same, unless you're kind of doing it in a manner that that is really meaningful for other folks. And so I think that that by engaging in activities with other people to make their lives better, or to create greater bonds between you and your friends and your communities or your family, I think that's kind of the way to go. I think it's just very simple, and we tend to overlook those simple ideas.
I think that's really interesting. I've never heard that before, and that also really helps with just the fact that we are all connected, and sort of to remind ourselves of that, and sort of reinforce those connections too.
We live in a life where we are engaging in kind of a lot of perfunctory relationships and a lot of perfunctory conversations, and it feels very superficial for me, and I think that you miss out on the depth of the world and of people's lives, and I think that it's those things that really kind of forward us and humanity along. And it's part of the reason why I'm embarking with my friend Paul on this new venture, which is a weekly conversation style video series. And it's all about having a conversation. The two precursors are, one, it's about people who give a damn. These are people who are kind of moving humanity forward. And, you know, it could be in the social sense, it could be in the environmental sense. And the second aspect of it is that these people have to be willing to be vulnerable. They have to be willing to share a piece of themselves that they might have not articulated before. They have to share their personal philosophies, or some challenges, or the times that was, like, really rough for them, or, you know, some of the more humorous aspects, self-deprecating aspects of their life. And I think that, you know, these are the things that that really allow us to get insight into an industry or a person, or into ourselves, for that matter. And so I'm launching this weekly series next month. So we'll have, you know, 52 different episodes, one a week, and it's with you know, people that normally people might not have access to, but these are folks now who are kind of opening up something new, and it's because it's not necessarily an interview where it's looking for these, you know, cute little sound bites. Where, to be honest with you, we get nothing. It's like eating like hors d'oeuvres and not ever fulfilling your hunger. You know, this is the dinner. You're getting the full dinner, and afterwards you're not even going to have room for dessert, because it's a full conversation. So that's kind of what we're embarking on now. And I have to tell you that both the guests and myself, it's been a very therapeutic experience.
That sounds amazing, Summer. And where can people, is this going to be available online, or where can they find this weekly conversation style video series that you're launching?
They'll be able to tune in to all the episodes on my personal website at summerrayne.net. That's S-U-M-M-E-R-R-A-Y-N-E.net, on Huffington Post, And we're talking with two other distributors right now. So I don't want to give their names unless it's there. But if you go to my website, you'll be able to see where you can see it as well. I mean, it'll be on Google TV and YouTube, that type of stuff as well. So you can take a look at it there. And it's definitely going to be on Huffington Post because that's already something that we discussed. So.
That sounds perfect, and you have so many amazing projects, and we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I would love to talk in more detail about some of your projects that you've done. Extinction, it's an amazing short film, and also Beyond the Wild, Saving the Sacred Headwaters. I'd just like to go a little bit deeper into some of the projects that you've done, your story, and just, sustainability. Just your passion. So we're going to take a really, really short break, everyone, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to my interview with Summer Rain Oaks. She is an environmental activist who has a degree as an environmental scientist as well as a degree in entomology. She is an eco model. She's walked the runways. She's been on the covers of magazines. However, her deepest passion is sustainability. And she's here today to talk about all of the way that her passion has manifested in some incredible ways. Summer Rain has taken an unlikely career path. Again, she parlayed her background in environmental science and entomology into a successful career as a fashion model, also known as an eco model today. And she has worked with people, different companies such as Payless Shoe Source and Nike. Nike is just right down the road from me here, so I'd like to hear a little bit more about what you did with them. She also was the muse behind the creation of the Prius C, and they even named a paint color in her honor. And Summer, you'll have to confirm this. Do you have a driver's license now, or is that like an old piece of information? I'm kind of curious about that.
I do not. It's become a vestigial structure in my life. I've never really owned a car, so
that's amazing.
It was so funny that Toyota's like, we created this car for you, and I was like, oh, you could have called me because I don't even have a driver's license. but it was really kind of flattering nonetheless, because their designers and engineers were so inspired to kind of they said I embodied what they considered the active eco optimist. And I'm like, well, this eco optimist doesn't drive. That's how optimistic she is.
That's
it was really
irony for you.
Kind of meeting the designers and engineers, and it was fun. It was fun to drive, and it was fun to put them on edge because I didn't have a driver's license. So.
I think that is so funny. But that's what I love about you is that dichotomy, and that's perfect because you're just exactly you're just who you are, and that's what makes everything work around you. And they even, even for them to go as far as to to name that car after you. And I think that's really funny. But so I was watching that short film, The Extinction, and you guys were saying all these facts about like by the time you're like for the one that really struck me is by the time you're 50, all the lions will be extinct in the wild.
Yeah,
and
that
made my heart drop.
Just to give a background for everyone listening, I mean, Extinction was an environmental art short that I did kind of on the weekends while we were building Source for Style, and it was just something that I had to get off my chest. I mean, you must like feel those days when you're just like, I just have to say this, or I just have to bring this to life. And at that point, my mentor, who is the closest person in my life, had just passed, and the day that we started shooting this film, actually, he had passed, and then I wanted to devote the film to him, so it kind of took on a whole new life as we started to film it, And the concept behind it was to showcase that the most pressing environmental issues are not happening thousands of years from now, but they're happening within a lifetime. And I narrate it on the timeline of my life from birth to death. And, of course, it's you know, pretty visceral when you're you're being able to narrate this as a 20-something-year-old. And and I found that I came upon this concept because I was really struggling with this idea of, and I was speaking to a lot of places, how do I really connect people with how quickly all of this is changing before our eyes? Because you often don't see it. It's happening within a lifetime, but it feels like a long time away. And and I kind of got the sense that I could really make this meaningful if I do it on the timeline of my life. And there's a lot of research out there about if things are continuing to go as forward as planned, these are the projections that will happen. And for what I find is that a lot of people have a specific statistic within the film that really resonates with them.
Yeah.
And more people resonate with the lion statistic than anything else, and I think that is because it's an animal. It's like it's big, it's relatable. You know, we think about like lions in the wild, it's the king of its kingdom, and and you then feel like, wow, well, that's something that's really close to me. The other things, like with forests and coral reefs, it might feel a little bit more esoteric, and people don't know what happens. You know, a lot of maybe some of us don't understand, like, well, what happens if all the coral reefs die?
So what does happen? I'm sorry.
I mean, I think that, it's about 1 billion people rely on coral reefs for their food. And it's because it serves as a whole ecosystem underneath the Earth. And if you think about it, almost all of our planet is covered with ocean, not with terra firma where we live. So there's a whole level of ecosystem below, submerged in water that we don't know about. And I just actually had Fabian Cousteau on my video series, and he was talking about like how much biodiversity can exist underwater, and that we just have no clue, and how much carbon is stored underwater. And the reality is, if you're looking at it from a perspective of like health perspective, like our coral reefs provide the ecosystem that provides for 1 billion people. It provides not only that, but like tourism. The own ecological integrity of the system, and these things are all coming undone with the increase in temperature of the ocean, the acidity, the increasing acidity of our ocean, the point source and non-point source pollution, agriculture runoff that's happening within the ocean system. There's a lot of things that are currently changing right now, and that for one. And that's something that Extinction doesn't touch upon. Like, the 5-minute film, it doesn't really go much into the descriptions of what are happening. It just kind of says what is happening.
Well, it's very powerful the way it is. But I really like how you talk about the health of the planet. It's so interesting. I was thinking about that way when I was driving back here to come do this show today, and I was thinking, okay, I'm the wellness coach doing a show on sustainability, but this is about health too, and we're all connected. And I think this is like the disconnect that maybe some of us have, and maybe it is because we're not out in nature as much as we should be. You know, I think that's what John Muir was saying at one point, is that the people that don't understand why we need to save nature, or preserve it, is because they're not out in it. So there's that level of disconnect, but it's absolutely true. I think that aren't the rainforests our lungs, and the coral reefs? You were talking about now. Why is the ocean becoming more acidic? I wasn't sure I understood why it's becoming more acidic.
Oceans start to acidify because of of the warming of the ocean. So basically what happens is as the oceans warm, which we have a 3 degree Celsius rise by mid-century, which I think is over 9 degrees maybe Fahrenheit, somewhere between 9 and 11. I can't do the math in my head, but which is a substantial amount of increase in air and then also inevitably in water temperature. So as the oceans start to acidify, what happens is that the calcium carbonate that makes up the shells and all the symbiosis of coral and polyps and all this other kind of stuff come undone. And actually they're seeing shelled creatures start to lose their shells. They can't even form their shells any longer. And corals, different corals exist in different temperatures. So as soon as you kind of kick that temperature up, you're not going to get a coral there any longer because it can't survive because the ocean has warmed to a degree. Now, if you also think about it from the ice caps melting, now, if you ever go skiing or snowboarding, and you're on the slope, and it's winter, and you don't put sunscreen on, and you come back with an incredible sunburn. And I've seen this with people. I'm just like, wow, did you just come back from the beach or like somewhere like Turks and Caicos? And they're like, no, I was like being in Aspen or whatever. And they're truly burned. And what happens is when the sun hits the ice caps, which is the significant, is or was a significant portion of our Earth, the light bounces back. It reflects. So that's why you get sunburned, because the light is hitting the white. It reflects, and you get a sunburn. That's what the poles are doing. It's actually reflecting the light back, hitting the UVA and UVB rays back and up into the atmosphere. Now, what happens? Wow. I mean, you've always walked. Like if you fly over, kind of an ocean, or you see a pool down below or whatever, the color, if you're far enough up, is black. And it absorbs light. And of course, if you've ever gone on asphalt or, in the city without kind of shade and you're walking on asphalt, it's hot. It's because when things are black and darker in color, it absorbs the heat. So as we start losing more and more of our ice caps, that light is hitting our oceans and it's absorbing more and more of that heat energy. And it's warming our oceans. So that's essentially what's happening about how our oceans are warming and becoming more acidic.
Wow, I've never heard that. That's fascinating. And then, of course, another residual side effect, it's like a domino effect. Then it's the polar bears that's another species that potentially might go extinct. Is that safe to say? Because they're losing their habitat.
Yeah, and I was actually going to include the polar bear thing in there, but I thought it was I had to make a decision on kind of which ones I really wanted to put in there, and I thought that the lion, for whatever reason, was more powerful because it's something that is almost like lesser known. It's not talked about as much.
Yeah, I had no idea, and yeah, I was actually shocked to hear that. And then they are very archetypal as well, lions.
Yeah,
they're, like you said, they're kind of like it can be overwhelming to think about everything that's happening, and yet there's you were talking about a positive feedback loop, and part of that way is to become connected and to work with other people and kind of do grassroots. I mean, what I see you doing is grassroots. I mean, you're doing it on a bigger level, but
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, look, I still feel like very grassroots. I mean, I think that what we have to figure out, like within our own lives, is like how do you want to work? And I feel as if I'm more comfortable working on many different things at once, almost like in a project basis. And and I just happened to kind of hit upon something that really struck a chord. And it largely is because I think fashion is very mediagenic. It's afforded me the opportunity to kind of branch out into all these different types of other projects, which is really good for me because, quite honestly, I love kind of that project-based mentality. Source for Style, another thing that kind of like started as a project, became a little bit big, and I was like, okay, this is great. I was already transitioning out of it, but I had Benita like be able to run it, because you know, when you, mm-hmm. it comes down to it, you just got to be honest with yourself and just be like, okay, is this something that I want to run for the rest of my life, or is it something that am I more comfortable as a person kind of going out and like starting something new? And and I do feel that, you know, staying ahead of the curve and being at the pulse of what's going on and knowing, you know, when you need to kind of change it up for yourself, but also kind of for the greater whole. And I think that, you know, the conversation style show that we're doing is for me, it's kind of a manifestation of being able to push the conversation forward, like being able to not share the glossy part of the story, but really go down into the heart of the matter, because I think that's what's going to now progress things forward, not only kind of getting your hands dirty and helping build the infrastructure to make things possible, like with Source of Style. I mean, after writing Style Naturally, like the next step was just like, well, how do we build the infrastructure to make it possible? We could talk about it and like have like express how much we love it, but how do we get it into people's hands? And then, you know, I think with the film for me right now, quite personally, it's like I don't think enough of the real story is being told. We've done a really good job kind of getting people excited about whatever it is, but now we have to kind of communicate about the journey and the struggles and the challenges, so that people can, one, be aware of it and also get excited about it.
Absolutely.
Because not everybody's up for a challenge. And if not everybody's up for that challenge, and if they're not, then, you know, okay, great, we'll concentrate on something else. But for those who are, you know, let them hear other people talk about their, you know, their visions in life, so that it can manifest in other people's lives similarly, if not... or differently if they want to take a different path.
No, and I think that's one of the things you do really well is, I mean, you are an electrifying speaker, and so you do kind of, you're really good at kind of being like the Pied Piper, like, okay, let's, for anyone who's interested and has the energy and the, you know, the motivation, or maybe I think you're also good at motivating people too, but I think you're right, we do need to get down in the trenches now, and but it's also, it is good to have awareness. And, I think it is, where is that? If you could maybe leave like, one or two kind of key points with people, like what are those, like a few things, that would maybe help someone who's on the fence or maybe curious, but doesn't really, is not sure if they want to go a little deeper, you know, with, maybe getting involved in environmental activism. Is there anything maybe that you can think of that's motivating that might help them tap into their passion?
You know, it's the thing is, start with yourself first. You know, I got into the fashion industry because we all wear clothes, and it was it definitely is a mediagenic industry, but it's like one of those things that we all wear clothes, you know, we all kind of eat, we all get up in the morning, we all take a shower, you know. There's certain things that really connect us, and I think that I'm not going to say don't, like, start in your community and everything, because it kind of is counterintuitive to what I said before, where, you know, you want to be able to help other people out. But sometimes if you start things in your own life, that can be an inspiration for other people. And you know, I just chatted with this other gentleman the other day who's really wonderful, and he's going to come on the show. His name is Stephen Risk, and he works with the Green Bronx Machine. And he's like, I have to tell you, I lost 60, or he's like, did he say 60? No, he lost 100 pounds. He's like, I lost 100 pounds. And he's proselytizing. He's always talking about getting the bad guys out of the school, which is like the Mars bars, you know, the candies, the sodas, and everything like that. And he's like, I want to show, I was like, well, congratulations, you just lost 10 packs of potatoes, like a 10-pound bag of potatoes. You know, that's incredible. And he wanted to serve as a role model for his children in his classes to show, hey, you could do this, because childhood obesity is on a crazy rise.
Like, absolutely.
We're at 36% obesity rate right now, and by 2035, we're projected to be that America is going to have 50% of people people who are going to be obese. That's 100
wow.
pounds over your normal body weight. And
wow.
and this is obviously like something that goes back into the food that we're eating, the lethargy, you
mm-hmm.
know, all sorts of different dynamics of what's going on there. So what better way than to actually make yourself healthy, you know, and that
yes.
only be better for your family and also hopefully be inspiring to other people as well. So there's all sorts of different ways that I think that people could start, but you just have to kind of look into your own life and not do a blanket statement. Like for me, it was
mm-hmm.
about bringing more green into my life, into my home, and being able to share that with more people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took joy in that. I mean, of course, I've done you know all the other wonderful things that you mentioned, but it's,
mm-hmm.
it's those you know things that you kind of bring into your house that you enjoy that you then feel very comfortable sharing with other people. I mean, to have that you know relationship, kind of building the mason jar herb garden in my kitchen with my father was, like I said,
mm-hmm.
like you know I've been around for 28 years. Like that was like the most fun thing that I've ever done with my dad. Like that's pretty cool. And he got a kick out of it. Now he sees everybody kind of responding to it on Facebook, and he feels, like, proud about his own abilities. I mean, you can't get better than that. I mean, it really is quite wonderful.
It is.
And
it's, I love, yeah, and it's also, I think it is, it's like whatever is going to make that connection for you. And even if it is like maybe trying a few different foods that might make you feel a little better or a little different, that might and in turn make you think a little different. Or like you said, even bringing more green, like greening up your home a little or, and it doesn't have to be the standard things that you're mentioning, you know, like it is good to do all the basic things too, but just it's making that passionate connection and what's going to turn on that light bulb for you so that you realize like, oh, wait a second. This is, I'm connected to this, and if this dies, then so do I. And
it's not complicated.
It's not complicated
at all. I mean, it really, you really got to get down and just be like, you know, what do I want out of my life? Like, do I not want to be paying these exorbitant health bills because I'm lethargic all the time? Well, maybe it means like kind of getting up in the morning and going for a light jog or a walk or, you know, maybe it means kind of changing, you know, just one of the things that you're eating in life. I mean, these are all things that we just have to kind of put our minds to and commit. And but you've got to get the sense with your own life about what works for you. I mean, some women say, yeah, you know, I want you know to change my wardrobe. I want to change my beauty routine. You know, it could come in many shapes, ways, and forms, and just. And people often think that they kind of have to bite off this huge chunk, that they have to, like, be as successful as, like, their neighbor or the partner or the person on the interview. And that's not what it's about. It's about, you know, creating a really happy, healthy existence for yourself and being able to share
mm-hmm.
that with other people and taking joy in that.
Absolutely. I love the way you say that. And then that in turn, so when you create your own sustainable, healthy life, then that you can in turn radiate that out and touch other people, which is what I see you doing and so beautifully. So you're right. It does. I think it does start within. And I find it really exhilarating for me, nature is, I feel very, you know, I'm going to go take a walk in the nature park after this just because I have to. Like it's not something that I feel like I need to do. I feel like it's I do it because my soul needs it, you know, and it's so I don't know. I just and that in turn keeps me in balance, you know.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Well, good for you.
I'm lucky where I live here, but we're getting toward the end of the show here, Summer, but I just wonder if there's anything like a takeaway that you want to leave with people, I want to mention your websites again, and also your book. So Source for Style is your website to connect designers with sustainable fabrics and textiles, is that
yeah.
correct? And then
yes,
Style Naturally, okay. Style Naturally is your fabulous book on fashion and also just a lot of the there's a lot of like websites in there and you kind of throw in like how to live a more sustainable life in general in there as well, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Eco, you've got your recycled optics and shades called Eco by Summer Rain Oaks. And then also you have your two websites. Well, you probably have more than that, but there's, I know, summerrain.net and summerrain.com.
Yeah, summerrain.net is totally fine.
The big one.
Is a link to all the others. So
okay. Summerrain.net.
So yeah, all the others are kind of a moot point because you can just
okay.
You can just go to that one and it can make you to all the others.
Okay, and that's RAYNE for anyone who's listening. And then you can also follow Summer at twitter.com/SROAKES. And, yeah, Summer, is there anything that you'd like to leave with us today, any kind of takeaway, anything at all? And thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I think it was a really wonderful time, and I just wish everybody the best and to really, you know, hone in on what your truth is and be able to follow your passion with the utmost respect and hard work. Yeah, get to it.
And on that note, and I just want to add to that, I see in your other bio here, you say, we all come from different backgrounds, different cultures. We are all in different places in our lives. Do what works for you where you are in your life. Let your own fire, blaze your own path, work hard, and most importantly, live by example. I love that.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much, Summer. I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate your time today. And, yeah, I just thank you so much for a really amazing interview, and thank you for all that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time, Judy, and
okay.
Back to you.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.